Father, as we do stand as a congregation on the banks of the Jordan, ready to head to the land of Canaan, we ask, Lord, that we never lose sight of you. We never lose sight of the fact that you are always with us, that you will guide us and lead us. We ask, Lord, that you open the words of Scripture to our hearts today. And even though I may speak the words, let you carry them into the hearts of everyone here, revealing what you will to those hearts this morning. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you who have been around for a while will know that there are certain stages of life. Life changes. Our marriages change. Our children change. Everything around us and within us is always in a state of flux. As one American put it, there are four changes for life that we all go through. Lemonade, Gatorade, Medicaid, and hearing aid. I'll let you decide which stage you're in. Change comes to all of us. And I've talked about that in various ways over the past few years. But this morning I want to begin focusing on our change. As a congregation, as a church, as a group of people the Lord has called to be together, to work for Him in the world around us. When we read the Bible, we notice that change is everywhere. In fact, the Lord changed people's lives all of the time. And that change wasn't always easy. We have Abraham, who had to leave everything that he knew behind to fulfill God's will for his life. We have Jonah, who had to leave his comfort zone to serve the Lord in a very hostile place. We know that he ran from this, but he eventually came to his senses when he had a run-in with a giant fish. We see the story of Noah, who was asked to do something that was very strange to the people around him, but he had to be obedient for God's will to be done. There is Paul, who was led from place to place so that he could carry the Christian message with him to new places. But for us, in our present situation, I think that the story of the Hebrew people in the book of Joshua is the most relevant for us. I'm sure that you all remember the story leading up to our reading this morning. God had led his people out of bondage in Egypt through Moses and Aaron. They had spent 40 years in the wilderness instead of just a few weeks. That was because of their lack of faith, because of their complaining and their fear. But now, 40 years later, those people were gone, fallen away, having died in the wilderness. And a new generation had grown up, a generation that was now prepared to do things God's way. Although they were dedicated to the Lord, this wasn't an easy time for them. None of them had lived anywhere except the wilderness. That's all they had known since the time of their birth. The promised land was something new, something that they had never experienced before. They knew that the Lord wanted them to be there. And I'm sure that there was excitement among the people, but it must have been hard for them to face the big changes that were coming. Perhaps that is why the Lord said over and over again in our reading, "Do not fear." But they had more to deal with than just the fear of the future. They had lost their leader, the one that had led them since childhood. Moses had died. And now Joshua was appointed by the Lord to lead the people forward. And going forward wasn't an option. It was God's plan for them. The Lord said in verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give them." That's a little bit like us, I think. We're on the verge of a big change. Many of you have spent years worshiping here. It has been comfortable. It's what you've known from childhood. So although there is excitement about what the Lord is doing and is going to do, I'm sure that in the depths of some of your hearts there is a little bit of fear, a little bit of trepidation as to what the future holds. The Lord knew the states of their hearts, and He knows the states of our hearts. And because He cares, because He works in us and through us, He gives us some words. The words that He gave the Hebrew people so that they could not only carry on, but be victorious in and through the change that they were facing. The Lord gave them a great promise, something to hold on to as they faced the change before them. He gave them a vision. He gave them a purpose, something to pursue with all of their strength. He said to them, "I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west." You know, you and I have territory to take as well. We have to believe that the Lord has that plan in store, or else we would not be moving. However, our purpose is not to play capture the flag. It is not to acquire more and more land. Instead, our purpose is to be an influence, an expanding force for Jesus in the new area where the Lord is leading us. There is a harvest ground where we are going. Many people who do not know the Lord. Many people who do not even go to church. And our purpose is to take that land, to reach those people. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. That is the purpose of the church. This is the purpose of our church. If we think that we are going to a new setting just to be comfortable, just to be complacent, then we have failed even before we have begun. There are many, many people in the surrounding community where we are going that haven't repented of their sin and place their trust in Jesus Christ. They are heading to an eternity separated from the presence of God. And it is our duty to help them find a way. We have territory captured. We have people to reach with the love of Jesus Christ, which should remind us all of a very important truth. This move that we are about to make is not about us. It's about Jesus and the people that He loves and wants to draw to Himself. So our prayer should always be for the Lord to expand our influence and expand our territory. In Chronicles, in 1 Chronicles 4:10, we have the words of a man that we don't know a whole lot about, but his words are powerful. And these are his words. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. A simple but powerful prayer from a man whose heart was right with God. Now you may think that this was all about acquiring more and more land, but it wasn't. Jabez was a man who put the Lord first. He knew that there was only one true God, and that He should be the center of our work. He knew the importance of inviting God into our lives and asking for His blessings so that we can bless others. Not just with material things, but more importantly with spiritual, eternal, life-giving things. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that our prayer should focus on the Lord expanding our territory, our sphere of influence, our area of blessing others with the love and the salvation message of Jesus. The Lord has good times ahead for us. He has a plan. So let us all get on board and take the land of our new community for His glory. When we have this purpose in our hearts, then we have to step out of the boat in spiritual matters. And that may frighten some. But what did the Lord say to the Hebrew people that day? He said in verse 5, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." Has the Lord given us a mission? Has He planned that we would be an influence for Jesus where we are going? Is it His will for us to bring Jesus with us and proclaim His name wherever we go? I believe so. I know so. That is our mandate. That is our commission. That is the land that the Lord asks us to take in His name. We're not going to the Mount just to have the choir sing. We're not going there just so Douglas can continue to direct music. We're not going there just so I can teach and preach. We're going there with a mission to the lost, a mission to the hurting and the broken, a mission to represent Jesus with all that we are in the dark world around us. Are we up to that challenge? Are we willing to cross the Jordan? I hope so. Some of you may be feeling a little uncomfortable about that. But the Lord says to us, as He said to the Hebrew people, be strong and courageous. We need that promise. And we need the promise given at the beginning of verse 5 as well, that no one will be able to stand against you. You see, when we do as a church what the true church is meant to do, when we truly live by our new vision and mission statements, there will be opposition. There will be those who are against what we are doing. But when we stand in God's power, no one will be able to stand against us. If we are going out there into the world just to make people like us, if we think our ministry is just to make people comfortable, if we have the idea that our mandate is just to make people's lives better for this world, then we have it all wrong. Our duty, our responsibility, our command from Jesus Himself is to make disciples, to help people become followers of our Savior. That will take work. That will take fortitude. That will take determination, and that will take courage. Not only because we will have to step beyond our pride and our fear, but because things will come against us. And we usually see it coming from other people. But other people are not the problem. The Bible in Ephesians 6:12 tells us, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. When we face struggles for the sake of the gospel, when people come against us because of what we are doing for the Lord, we should have a bring it on attitude, because then we know that we are on the right track. We always need to remember that our fight is not against people. Our fight should be for people, for the eternal souls of people. Our fight, according to God's word, is against the powers of darkness that want to stop our work, the Lord's work, the work that He has given us. The dark powers around us will use others to stop us. They will try to frustrate us and confuse us. So if we are planning on going forward just being people pleasers, we will totally and completely fail as a church. We are told, in fact, we are commanded in the Bible to be God pleasers and not people pleasers. And when we do, when we please God by doing what He says to do, we will face opposition. But any church worthy of its calling will say in unity, bring it on, because no one will be able to stand against us all the days of our lives. That was God's promise then. And it is God's promise for those of us today who want to work with the Lord in His mission to the world. Maybe it's not the move that is making some of you feel uncomfortable. Maybe it's what I have to say this morning. For the Lord has put these words strongly on my heart. Moving to the Mount won't be just about a new location. It will require a new way of thinking. As I said to the congregational leaders at the retreat, there will be no point in leaving our old building if we don't let go some of our old thinking. They agreed. And that's why they chose to adopt a new vision and mission statement. And you as a congregation agreed to adopt them as well. These statements are straight from the Bible. that when put into practice on a consistent basis will enable us to take spiritual ground for the Lord. Everything that we do needs to be based upon the Word of God. That's what God told His people then. And that is what God is telling His people now. Verse 7 of our reading says, be careful. That means make it a priority. To obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. That's the part of the Bible that they had then. Do not, the Lord said, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Okay, last week, I asked the ladies not to raise up their hands when it came to their husbands. But today, I want you to raise your hands if you agree. How many of you want St. Paul's to be successful? Not in the world's eyes, because that means that we will close our doors, but in God's eyes. How many of you want God to be our provider, our protector, and give us success? Anybody? Thank you. Then what do we have to do? We have to do things the way the Bible tells us to. Remember those if-then principles of the Bible? The Lord is not going to give us success by us just asking Him to give it to us. That's not the way it works. The Lord will give us success only when we follow His Word completely. If you want success, then obey the Bible in the life of our church. That will take surrender, and that will take obedience. And just in case we or the Hebrew people missed the point the first time, the Lord says it again in a different way. In verse 8, He said, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Does that mean reading and memorizing Scripture and quoting it throughout the day? Absolutely. Does this mean that during the light of day and the darkness of night, that we should be meditating on what the Lord says? You bet it does. And what is the promise given again by the Lord for those who obey? He said, then you will be prosperous and you will be successful. That is a powerful promise of God for us corporately and personally. You don't need Tony Robbins or Oprah to give you prompts to make your life better, because they don't really work. But if you want true prosperity and true success, meditate on God's Word both day and night, and obey it, do what it says. The Lord is calling us to big things, to great things. But some of you may feel like those people in Joshua chapter 1. Perhaps you feel some excitement, and now this morning I have made you feel uncomfortable. But that's okay, because God is with us. As He said that day in verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? Is it because we have presbytery support? No. Is it because we can continue to do what we have always done? No. Is it because we're a bunch of good people and we deserve the best? No. It was because of what God said at the end of verse 9. He said we don't have to fear. He said that we should never be discouraged. Because, and only because, the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. That's a wonderful promise that we all need to stand on in the days, the weeks, months, and years ahead. You and I have been very busy preparing for our move. We've had committees working very hard. We've had packers working hard. We are prepared physically. But I truly believe that the Lord is telling us that we need to be prepared spiritually. We need to be ready to do what the Lord wants us to do. In fact, it wasn't until later on in verse 10 and 11, after these spiritual directions were given, that Joshua ordered the leaders to go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. as we get our provisions ready? Are we ready to do things differently? Are we ready for the spiritual change that God may require? Are we ready to step out and step up personally? Are we ready to be an influence for the Lord in the new land that He has for us? I hope so. And even though you may be fearful, always remember God's word to us. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go.